Hey, McCall.
Hey, Kirsty.
It's a spooky day today.
Spooky. We have wicked weather.
We do. Halloween. We're recording this. Halloween, very strong storm system impacting pretty much the whole United States. Very a sharp cold front that is bringing the coolest air of the season to us.
Yeah.
And we've got a lot of rain, a lot of much needed rain.
Yeah. We had a good soaking just a few days ago, which really helped out our grass. And this is also going to add to that. So hopefully this is going to kick us out of that drought.
Yeah. It would just be nice to at least go into winter, you know, and not be in a deficit anymore. And this should close the gap, to be honest.
Yeah.
Of course, at this point, the growing season is going to end tomorrow when we see temperatures drop below freezing.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, I think that, you know, once we go through winter, it'd be nice. I'm sure the farmers would be happy to at least have too wet of soil than too dry.
Absolutely. And I mean, it's not uncommon to have our first freeze this time of year. I believe October 22nd is like the average first day.
Yeah.
So this is right where we should be, which is quite shocking considering the fact that we were like 80s and 90s as we started the fall season.
Yes, like the beginning of the month, I'm pretty sure we were the mid 90s.
Yeah.
And now we're ending the month and we are going to be significantly colder than that. The system also gives us our first chance for some snowflakes, which no one wants to hear that, but it's also not crazy, you know, in the Miami Valley to have the end of October where you can get those flurries.
Yep.
Typically, we don't get our accumulating snow this early, and we're not really expecting that. So it's definitely been just a fun system to forecast, and now we'll watch it unfold as we go through the rest of our day today.
Yeah, and the windy conditions, they're probably going to bring down some more leaves. Yeah. So you're going to be doing some yard work as far as raking as we get into the next couple of days. But we're like right around peak right now. So there's still going to be a lot of trees left with their leaves.
Yeah.
I noticed because I just got back from New York.
Yeah.
It's really green here compared to where my parents are. My parents are past peak at this point.
Yeah. So you see more bare branches.
Yeah. And it was beautiful. There were a lot of deep reds and then turning brown. And then to come here and be like, oh, we haven't even gotten to that point yet. So I know that we still have a little bit to go.
And I think it's also interesting to point out, too, the state parks, again, even though like a lot of, I think, neighborhoods are probably going to almost lose all their leaves at this point. But the canopies of the trees in the parks, they're close together and they like kind of can shelter each other. So when you get big wind events like this, you still will have leaves that are together up in those areas because they're kind of just, they're all growing in the same little area in the same habitat. So they can keep the leaf shield kind of going a little longer than, say, the random tree in your backyard that after the wind event we get tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Exactly.
Well, our guest today, this is kind of cool. And it honestly was something, McCall, that I have actively going on at my house.
Yes.
And I was just pondering one day because me and this guest chat about the weather, and I realized, the weather impacts a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not just like, oh, should I go for a run, but impacts people's livelihoods. And when you are a small business owner, it really depends on the forecast, especially if that small business literally has to do with working outside.
Mm-hmm.
So our guest today is Dave Helvey. He is the owner of Rural One Builders. He's a contractor. He builds decks. He builds homes. He does a little bit of everything. And full disclosure, we have hired him to build our deck. And so that's why, you know, he was asking, what's the forecast next week? What are you thinking? This, that, and the other. And it really got me thinking of, it would be nice to hear the perspective of someone whose whole, you know, business has to do with what's going on outside. Hi, Dave.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and how Rural One came to be.
Well, honestly, I left a college a little bit early to open up a business. I'm very entrepreneurial.
Nice. And
so I opened up a business with a friend of mine, and we did like warranty work for home builders. And this is back when I was in my early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kind of took off. That kind of lit a fire under me to just do something with building in the residential or commercial industry. And, you know, here we are today, and I have my own company. The origin of the company has changed a couple of times just based off of just simple interests.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as of just a couple of years ago, I changed the name to Rural One Builders. And, you know, we're focused on building homes, building good quality custom homes, and like you said, like decks for you, right? Woo! And just things that I can put a stamp on, put my brand on, yeah, that I would be proud of. So
cool. Now that we're getting into the cold season, I mean, how is that impacting your business?
Well, it's greatly impacting the business. Yeah. Obviously, in the wintertime, construction slows down a little bit. I think the number one enemy of construction is water. So if you have the opportunity to really hustle and get things done before, let's just say, the late fall precipitation really starts, or early spring mm-hmm. precipitation starts, you're really doing yourself some favors. So if you get caught like in the middle of, let's just say, today,
yeah, mm-hmm.
where it'll rain consistently on and off for two days, there's really not much you can do other than maybe
wait.
Go inside and drink coffee and stay warm.
Just kind of wait. So water is the enemy. So that mm-hmm. means rain. What about like ground temperatures, like when we get into the heart of winter? Because you had kind of mentioned to me about even just putting the like the pillars of our deck in, mm-hmm. and like, how does that play a part? Like, is there a certain part in the winter where you're just like, or for your own health? Like,
you can really dig any type of foundation as long as it's not frozen.
Okay.
Right. Now there are some extreme cases where construction companies, they will get a foundation in regardless if it's frozen or not.
Mm-hmm.
They'll
wow.
put like heating blankets out and heat the ground just so they're able to dig. But I think in my case, I don't have the pressure of that kind of schedule.
Yeah.
So if it's frozen, we'll typically try to stay away from that kind of work. Obviously, if the ground is super moist, if I'm digging holes in the ground, most likely that hole is going to fill up with water.
Yeah.
So we just try to be prepared as possible in those types of scenarios. If we're really down on time and we really need to get something done, oftentimes we'll dig a foundation hole and pump water out just to keep things going. So yeah, it's definitely a negative thing, but it is manageable.
I don't know if this impacts you directly and your business, but I've been working on a series of stories about people that are trying to rebuild from the tornadoes that we had in May. And there's kind of like a rush against time.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Have you seen an uptick in work? Do you know of some colleagues in their businesses that seem to be doing more work because they have to help with the rebuild?
Yeah, there are. You'll find that there are a lot of contractors that come in from out of town to help out.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a great thing,
yeah.
But there's also some negatives to that as well, because the rush provides an opportunity and a real awareness of, man, I really need to get my house put back together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes customers don't do the research on who they're using, and oftentimes they can get stuck with a contractor that may not finish the job,
mm-hmm.
or
ooh, yeah.
Things of that nature. So you just honestly really have to do your research. And yes, when you're find yourself in a situation where you just got to get your house put back together, there are a lot of great guys around our area that help with that. Me in particular, I have not done a lot of tornado damage work.
Okay.
Just because I think maybe I'm just
a little too far
away. But I'm also not, you know, if somebody calls me and asks me for help, man, I'm
yeah.
more than willing to help. But it's not the kind of work that I typically chase to stay busy. So.
Okay. And we may have had this conversation. I don't know. Is this, it's not all just about the build, it's about the paperwork too. Is there
right.
like an overload
yeah.
of people putting requests that could slow down you getting a permit for something?
Well, yes. I think just the requests for I think just for estimates in general.
Yeah.
Like I get probably 5 or 6 calls a week for estimates, and honestly, it's hard to really keep up
yeah.
with that, because I'm the type of builder that I also still love to wear my tool bags too. Like
mm-hmm.
I'm just not managing.
Yeah.
I'm actually doing so. Keeping up with that, and obviously inclement weather or bad weather provides an opportunity to catch up on that kind of stuff,
mm-hmm.
because you can drive around, see people that you can make time for that you wouldn't have necessarily time, because if the sun is shining,
you're building.
And the water stays away, we're busy building stuff. Mm-hmm. So
okay, when it comes to like the process, so if like for us, we had never done anything like a build before,
mm-hmm.
And if you're doing like an addition or something like that, so you get an estimate and then you put in a request for permits and then you have to get it approved. Like, I know for the deck it's not really like that, but mm-hmm. if it's like for a home, it's like kind of a lengthy process.
It can be.
Yeah.
So typically on something like that, you have to have a set of plans drawn.
Okay.
Now, in a lot of cases, in more rural counties, they're still accepting hand-drawn designs, but that's far and few between now. But you typically have to pay an engineer of some sort or a drafter to draft up a design, and then you have to submit it, and you're kind of at the county's discretion on how fast that process takes. So I actually have a project right now that originally was supposed to take 3 to 5 days from the time of submittal to approval, and we're almost at a month.
Wow.
Waiting on a month for that to be approved, and that's simply because in the Miami Valley we experienced that bad tornado outbreak.
Yep.
And so the requests for permits are just like stacked up on this guy's desk.
Yeah.
And he's just having trouble getting to people in a timely fashion. So.
And I think that's very interesting.
Yes.
Because
you don't think about that.
You don't think about that. You know, you're just like, oh, out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you could live in a totally different community that wasn't impacted by the tornado at all.
Yeah.
But secondhand, you are now impacted because you're, you know, wanting to do something to your mm-hmm. home and you're having to wait. Because
right.
of all these permits.
Right, and that's a good example, because the project that we're trying to get started now is just inside Montgomery County. It was in Brookville, Ohio, which had a tornado go through, but it
right.
was in a neighborhood that wasn't affected.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just a general change in their house design that they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so just because they're
in that county,
and primarily, even though the tornadoes touched other counties, primarily Montgomery County was affected, where they're just kind of in the mix of just kind of crossing their fingers, hoping that they'll get their permits approved.
And right. I don't know if you know the answer to this question, but I was wondering, is there a, do they approve by the time of submittal, or is there like an urgency? Like,
right, like
they're like, oh, these homes need to be fixed ASAP.
I mean, that's probably not necessarily a talking point when you go to submit your information.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell you, hey, just be patient because we're trying to work through all these. I think that is kind of true,
mm-hmm.
but that's just pure speculation on my point.
Right.
But I think there are some projects that do have a larger weight than others.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they're all supposed to go through a standardized process.
Yeah.
Right.
Which I think that, you know, just the layperson would, you know, assume that is correct. That's the way that's supposed to be done. And who knows, that probably is the way it is being done.
Yeah.
But there probably are some asterisks.
Red flags.
Yeah.
Like this house is
yeah.
a hazard. Yeah.
Well, and I think too, it's kind of like interesting and crazy to think as well that, you know, the counties are equipped to, I don't even know who would do permanent, like, is that like a county engineer?
Typically it's a county building and zoning department.
Gotcha.
And then if you live in an area, let's just say inside the city limits,
mm-hmm.
typically like in the city of Dayton isn't regulated by the county.
Okay.
It's regulated by the city.
Okay.
But in, you know, some cases like out in Preble County, it's regulated by the county. But once you get into the city limits of Eaton, then they don't normally manage that process.
So it's funny, it's interesting to think, so that zoning department, again, probably doesn't ever think that they're going to have a large tornado outbreak that would destroy so many homes.
Right.
So, like, even the departments themselves probably are, like, not even that equipped or
have enough personnel
to be going through everything.
Right.
Trickle-down effect, you know? Like, mm-hmm. that house is just a normal home that was spared from the tornado, but they're being impacted, and everyone that works for the county or even works for the city of Dayton that has to go through all of that, they're just even that much more, they're that much busier as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You know, another one of those moments.
So, you know, of course, we appreciate everyone in the county and the city that has to do all of these approvals.
Yeah.
Right. I can't
and
imagine.
We're wishing you the best of luck as you continue to work hard.
You're just buried in paperwork right now.
I can't imagine that this, the just on a daily basis, the stress that they may have to deal with people trying to push them to get things done. And I understand. I completely understand. It is frustrating from time to time when you.
Well, because it's impacting your business and being able to get out there and work. Well, and you're feeling the pressure from the client of you said this time frame and now it's
and
taking so long.
Although that part of the process isn't my responsibility, I am kind of representing the process when it comes to the customer. So when you can't really give them a true answer of how it's really going, because you don't know the situation inside another office building. So, but hopefully the weather will continue to we'll have some good sunny days and we'll get some approvals and we can keep working.
Yeah. Dave, just random weather question for you. Do you have any maybe years that stick out in your mind or inclement weather that you were working on a build and you maybe dealt with crazy thunderstorms or super cold or you know what I mean? Like what I would love to know just any interesting weather story that you may have working in this field that you've experienced over the years.
Well, I don't quite remember the rain totals, but I do remember maybe last spring being very, very
wet.
Heavy and wet and rainy. So I have through the state of Ohio, I have my approvals and permits, certifications to do residential septic installation, and so we tried to put in a septic system not knowing that it was going to rain like every other day or every 3 days.
Yeah.
And it was probably, just as a contractor, it was probably the worst experience that I have had. Very stressful, having trouble to seeing a good outlook. On finishing that job. And I had like pipes floating out of the ground. I had septic tanks floating and flipping over on their tops. And I think that particular week or the series of 2 to 3 weeks, I was considering is being in business for myself
worth it?
Right. And it's just because of some rain, some water.
Yeah.
Water is a contractor's enemy for sure.
McCall, I'm going to ask you as a meteorologist. obviously, you feel the pressure as the business owner and the contractor trying to work. And then you have your client that you want to, you know, do a good job for and be happy with. As meteorologists, every forecast we give, we are thinking of people like you. And it's like even more pressure.
Oh, so much pressure. Because you know that this can be like people's livelihood.
Yeah,
I wasn't thinking about builders. I think mostly through the spring, I was thinking about farmers and being able to get in the field. I feel like that's what I was thinking a lot about. It's really, really hard to say it's going to rain again. Sorry, it's going to rain again. And, you know, especially farmers and now builders, we can only see out about 5 days.
Yeah.
So, okay, we'll just get through this week and maybe next week will be better. And then next week comes and it's like, not so much.
Right.
It really does suck to have to give that kind of forecast to someone like Dave.
And I will say, too, anyone listening, if you you know, own a landscaping company or a contractor, McCall and I are on social media and we're pretty active. So if people send us a question and want something more specific, you know, we'll answer. We'll try to help you out. Dave is like, hey, next Monday, what are you thinking? Or like, what is the outlook for next week for like his builds? And of course, like I'll try to give you as accurate as I can. But, you know, that's something that, of course, on TV, we only get a certain amount of time. So we can't give like a special forecast to everyone. But don't be afraid to reach out if you're listening to this podcast and you ever run into, you know, you want a little more detail to your outlook. We can help.
So do you have something that you do during the wintertime when you're not building?
We typically work year-round. So if it's not snowing, if we don't have accumulating snow, or if it's not raining and it's dry, I've been known to wear like 4 or 5 layers working outside. And honestly, it's because I prefer doing outside work. We'll take on doing a basement finish or a kitchen remodel mm-hmm. or a bathroom remodel, but it's not what my business is designed around.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we build everything, we'll build a house from the ground up.
Wow.
But to just take on something inside it's gotta be a pretty special project. And so I always find myself taking on outside work because I love being outside,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
well, because you're originally from Alaska.
I forgot podcast. Everyone. Dave is from Alaska.
So he's
good
with
nothing.
These winters.
Yeah, I used to wear shorts to school year round, and I would get sent home to put pants on.
But that being said, you can't take on so many outdoor projects because you don't know if like we're gonna have like a ton of snow or a polar vortex.
Right.
So is there
not
like
bringing
a
in money.
Is there a scaling back of like, okay, we're only gonna do 1 or 2 projects for these months?
Well, and I think that the customer knows that too. They're aware of, they don't want to start a project in mm-hmm. November or December.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a chance if we're opening up a whole side of their home.
Right.
And we're in the midst of cold months. Now there are some people that have no problem with that. And because they were the next person on the schedule,
right.
They're okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think you would find that the customers are very aware of what they want and what they don't want.
Yeah.
And typically doing a late fall or wintertime project where you have to remodel the outside of someone's home isn't necessarily going to happen very frequently, but it does. We'll work year round, like I said before. But during the winter months, my company, myself and another gentleman that works for me, we are subcontracted to help do snow and ice removal.
Oh,
so that's
nice.
That's something that we kind of keep in our back pockets just to keep us busy.
Yeah.
But as far as that, we're doing construction projects year round. So
speaking of year round, it was really hot this summer.
Yeah.
How was that? I mean, because of course you could build in the heat, like you said, as long as it's not raining. But even just safety for you and for, because you have someone that works for you, so mm-hmm. you got to be careful. How was the summer for that?
The summer was okay. It was very, very hot
yeah.
and very, very drought-like. But honestly, when you're building, you honestly prefer that over the latter. I think to beat extreme heat, you're up and working at like
super
5,
early.
6 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on the really, really hot days, you're off by like 2 or 3 o'clock.
Right.
Before the evening sun hits you. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's really, honestly, that's the only really way to beat the heat is
right.
to hit it early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And get done early, drink a lot of water
yeah.
and electrolytes and all that kind of stuff. But this is what we signed up to do, right?
Yeah.
So we're gonna do our best to complete what we set out to do, no matter what the weather is. So
that's awesome.
Well, Dave, thank you so much. Is there anything that we didn't ask you that you'd
yeah.
like to talk
oh,
about?
Oh, no.
Do you have a bone to pick with us as meteorologists, or are you okay? We give good forecasts?
No. I have a I have a meteorologist at home.
Yeah,
you do.
Yeah, you do.
That if I need to reference her at all, I can do that, and I completely understand where you two are coming from when you have to field, crazy questions.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to know for anybody that's listening. In Dave's back pocket, his wife is a meteorologist.
Yeah, so he has the inside scoop when working on projects.
Well, when I have to forecast the weather for projects, I kind of feel like a meteorologist.
Right? Mm-hmm.
And then I have you two and my wife as reference.
Yeah.
Yes.
To see if I'm correct or not. So
we all work together.
Now, Dave, why don't you give a little, where can people find you? And you're on social media, and I think that's hilarious. His Instagram account, first of all, is amazing because you post videos of your work all the time.
It's so interesting. I know nothing about construction, and his Instagram is great. Really, really behind the scenes look at the projects he works on, and it kind of blows your mind.
Yeah.
Well, most marketing people would say that I'm crazy, but I honestly, my business does not have a website.
Whoa.
And yeah, you're right. And and that's simply because most of my work comes from word of mouth or referrals from previous customers. And for the last several years, I have stayed 8 months to 12 months to 14 months booked out. And I'm having trouble keeping up with what I have now.
Yeah.
So the way that I advertise my business and the quality points that I try to point out to people that might be interested in that is through Instagram. Yeah. You can find me at R1 Builders on Instagram. And if you would like to ask me any questions about the building process, or if you have a construction project that you just have general questions about, you can reach me at rural1builders@gmail.com.
Awesome. Dave, thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Well, if you want to continue listening to Cloudy with a Chance of podcast, don't forget to subscribe. You can also rate and review the podcast for us as well. You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, of course, WHIO.com. And this year, McCall and I have been really trying to do more vodcasts, which is the video version of this. So McCall, how can people watch that?
Well, of course, you can go to WHIO.com and see it there. But you can also, if you have a Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, just look for the WHIO app. And on there, you'll be able to see those video vodcasts and all the weather videos that we create throughout the day. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.